What's next? Part 8. This is our last installment in this series. Next week we'll start a new series. But thank God. We've been learning about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Isn't it good? And so we've been talking about the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a subject you cannot exhaust, but we're going to transition to a new subject next month. So come ready and prepared for that. But I want to invoke everybody to receive the Holy Spirit's help in a greater way the rest of this year. Amen? And so in John chapter 16, verse 7, in Amplified, it says, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper," everybody say the helper, "advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby." See, we hadn't even explored all those, but that's other attributes of the Holy Spirit. "Will not come to you in close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." Amen. So that's the objective, for you to be in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is not in you as a visitor. He's not a hotel guest with baggage in his room that you have to get out. No, he's your partner. At the new birth, you receive all the person of the Holy Spirit. At the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you receive his power. Amen. So you need both aspects of the Holy Spirit to live victorious in this life. Now let's make this confession. You go to the next slide. I confess that the Holy Spirit is my personal helper. Now you have to say that every day. Every situation of life, I listen to the voice of the Spirit. He speaks to my heart and mind. He helps me precisely what I am to say and what I am to do. Come on now, let's say that. In every situation of life, I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to my heart and mind and tells me precisely what I am to say and what I am to do. I am not helpless, confused, or caught off guard, because the Holy Spirit lives within me and is and my ever-present helper. With him inside of me to guide me, I am never at a loss for wisdom in critical moments. He is my helper, my teacher, my comforter, my advisor, my guide, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Now, we're gonna summarize help just in pause as we shift to something else, but we want to go into help, how the Holy Spirit helps us fight. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places." Now notice in that verse, he says "against" five times. So the emphasis of the Holy Spirit in this writing here is that our enemies are 99.9% spiritual. We don't have a problem with people. We think we do, because the devil makes us think we do. But our problems with the devil, the enemy of our soul. Are you here? Against. He's telling us against. You're not fighting against people, flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at verse 12. 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Everybody say stand. "Stand, therefore, having the girds weighed about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and being shod with your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. That's good, isn't it? And the take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance for supplication for all saints. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. So the Bible's strong imperative is that it commands us to be strong in the Lord. Everybody say be strong in the Lord. And he said, be strong in the power of his might. So the word, the Lord and the word are synonymous. So he's telling us what this church is all about, in essence, that we are to be strong in the word and strong in the spirit. So the reason why we've emphasized this, what's next, is that the Holy Spirit is to be your helper to help you skillfully be strong, stay strong, and fight strong. Now, when you fight strong, that means you don't back down to the devil. You don't back out when he's putting pressure on you and he's persecuting you through people or unwitting people and, of course, negative circumstances. You're strong in the word. You're strong in the spirit. Now, we said the Holy Spirit will help you develop skill as you give him your will. That means you got to give the Holy Spirit your willingness. Holy Spirit, teach me how to fight. Teach me how to go to this back. Because all this armor is not for us to sit at the house and flip our remote. It's an indication in the context of what he's saying, be strong, that we are in a battle. We're in a war. Now, some of us were in the military, and there's a difference between wartime and peacetime. And sometimes Christians become oblivious to the fact that you're not in a civilian organization, you're at war. Now, this war is a lot different because it's spiritual warfare. That's why he uses the word wrestle. That word wrestle is not fist fight, or you guys are duking it out, or shooting guns at each other. He means that they are vibrating or swaying you or trying to deceive you between your ears. The word for the devil is that he's throwing like a ball and chain on your brain, and he's hitting you with this thought, this issue, that issue, trying to get you and persuade you to back off the word and back off what you believe. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, help me learn how to fight. Now, let me give you something insight here. In 1 John chapter 5, you see it right there, verse 7 through 8. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, everybody say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the word is Jesus, the word made flesh. That's the Trinity in heaven. What's the Trinity on earth? These three are one. That's why we don't believe in one God or Jesus only. We believe a God that's distinct in three personalities, divine personality: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there's three that bear witness on earth. Everybody say the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, we know the Spirit means the Holy Spirit. The water is the Word. But it's really a flowing water. It's not where you wash things, where you work things, because it's not stagnant. It's moving. Like in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and Exodus, you know, when the priest was anointed, they put blood and oil aside running water. Running water always represents the spoken word or the prophetic word. So he's saying the word must be worked. But again, as I said earlier, the Holy Spirit will give you skill develop you in skill if you give him your will. Now, some people are so tied up and unyielded to the Holy Spirit, they said, "The Holy Spirit, I don't want you to teach me how to fight, because I don't want to fight." And you got the devil boxing your ears almost on a regular. Hallelujah. Everybody say the Spirit, the water, and the blood. What does the blood represent? The blood represents the covenant. Everybody say, "I have a covenant with God." One time the Holy Spirit yelled at me. Now, he does yell. He's trying to get your attention. He's had to yell a couple times to get my attention. He said, "Why don't you act like you got a covenant with God?" I'm sniveling. Anybody know what sniveling means? I'm sniveling in prayer. "Lord, you know, Lord, this is so..." Why don't you act like you got a covenant with God? Did my blood make you worthy? Did you know what can wash away your sin? What can make you whole again? That's covenant. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." So the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the blood are three in one. So he's talking about they agree in one, but that word "agree" just means A-R. They are one. Three in one. So the Spirit, the Word, and the blood are inseparable. Now, sometimes we think, okay, the Holy Spirit's way out here, and the Word is way over here, and the blood is somewhere out there, but they work together. He left us three immutable things to win every battle. Everybody say the Spirit, the Word, and the blood, or the water. That means the word is working. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, Revelation 12:11 says this: "They overcame him by the blood of the..." Now, he's talking about the devil and demons. "They overcame him by what?" I heard one minister in Africa, he said, this is the ace of spades. When you know you don't have the jokers in your hand for playing spades. He said, "This is the ace of spades, the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and love not their lives to death." One big way the Lord helps us overcome is by the blood. Somebody said, "The blood of Jesus." So what have you used lately? Have you been slinging blood? You know, the Bible's a bloody book. And some people think the blood's way out here. "Oh, we only celebrate the blood on communion." What can wash away? Only thing that can wash away our sin is what? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole? Struggling with anxiety, struggling with pressure, struggling with depression. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." So when's the last time you slung the blood? Now, Dr. Billy Brim says every day she gets up, takes communion, and she slings blood. "I plead the blood." And she says, "I hold the blood over my spirit, soul, and body. I hold the blood of Jesus over my family. I hold the blood of Jesus over my ministry. I draw a bloodline around my house." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Somebody say, "Hallelujah." I don't know, maybe you might not know him, but Dr. Lester Summerall, that's how he used to deal with devils in the Philippines, in Malaysia, in the Far East, those wild devils. He got off the plane and says, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood." Bold. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, we have boldness to enter into the holiest. by the blood. That's how you deal with the devil. You got to deal with him boldly. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There was a minister, I was talking to somebody last week about it, and they're in Canada, and they have some acreage and property in Phoenix, Arizona area. And his church was doing good. His ministry was doing real good. And the devil got mad at him. He said, his kids went home to the Phoenix area, the little acreage or farm or whatever. And it was about 5 acres, 5 or 6 acres. And he said, he told him, while you're here in Canada, I'm going to infect three wolves with rabies, and they're going to bite your kids and kill them. Do you think the devil's not threatening us today? Did he wait? Did he wait to fly down there? Did he panic? He knew it was the devil. But how do you answer the devil? The blood. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I plead the blood. In other words, you got to exercise Romans 3:25, faith in the blood. How much faith do you have in the blood? So he said, I drew a bloodline around my property. No time or distance in the realm of the spirit. He drew a bloodline around his property. That 5 acres or so, he from every fence post, he drew a bloodline. Now, he was still in Canada. He flew to Phoenix to check on his kids. Went there. Kids, everybody okay? Yep. Well, I'm going to take a drive around the property. So he took one of the other ones. 4x4s. He drove around, saw one wolf dead at the fence post. Picked it up, put it in the back of his 4x4. Goes around to another one, another wolf dead. They didn't cross his property line. They dropped dead right at his fence post. Went around and got the third one dead. He took it to the veterinarian and said, can you test these, see if they had rabies? All three of them had rabies. Now, you know, when you got rabies, you know, they attack you and they don't care. They come right at you, ravenous. Everybody say the blood. You got to use the blood. So are you allowing the Holy Spirit to help you use the blood? There was a lady in this pastor's church he told me about in Canada. He said, she kept calling him, Pastor, God, please pray over my house. Because the devil would manifest himself. She had bought an old house. It had, you know, people say, well, his house is on it. It could be. They could be demon infected. Because demons are territorial. So he went over there and prayed, and while they were praying, the demon showed up, manifested. And she's scared. Oh. She says, sister, stop acting like that. We got the blood. Told the devil, get out of here, leave it alone. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come on, y'all getting this? Devil leaves, he's mad because he don't want to leave his place. And sometimes he doesn't want to leave your place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anyway, devil walks out mad. And the sister called the pastor back and said, you know, somebody said, your tires got all these bite marks in them. And then she called the pastor, my tires are all bitten up. Holy Spirit said, that's just the devil. He was acting up as he was leaving the house. He had actually chewed holes in her tires, all 4 her tires. He said, sister, just go buy some new tires and be happy, be free. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Somebody said, hallelujah. Y'all can take one more story? Okay. One more story. He said he was in India on a mission field. Now, there were some big devils over there. Sometimes angels don't want to go over there. I'm just kidding about that. And so sometimes we make the devil so big, even as Christians. Because this pastor was angry because everybody, they gave him this, you know, in the room, this sanitized kit, and they made him to tell him, you know, spray and wait and wipe down. You kill all the germs in your room. You know, COVID really showed up and showed the church how fearful it is about germs. I'm gonna get this disease. I don't want to get that. You let fear in your house, you're gonna let the devil in your house. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he got mad, and the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit said in him, he said, don't you got a covenant with me? When the blood and the spirit, the anointing, creates a barrier where that stuff can't get to you. Some Christians quick first to put on a mask. Or somebody's coughing around and they go, you afraid you're going to catch something? Oh, praise God. I ain't got in a hole right here. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about not using natural wisdom, but don't we have a covenant with God? We have the Spirit, we have the Word, and we have the blood. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he was in India, and a lot of these pastors were afraid to cross a certain bridge because they said there was a troll. Everybody say troll. Now, you got to watch what your kids watch because they're replicating stuff in the underworld or unseen realm. This was a troll demon, and that's what he called it. And he would look for pastors to come across that bridge. He would grab them, take them in the water, and drown them. So you had a whole bunch of pastors, about 30 or something over, afraid to cross the bridge. The devil's going to get me. The devil's going to get me. And he went across the bridge and stood right where the troll was at, declaring the blood. What am I saying? Every one of us need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of how powerful the blood is. One drop of blood. Amen. Can cast out devils. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, again, we all have room to improve if we're not drawing a bloodline around our house, around our finances, around your ministry. If you're not drawing a bloodline around your marriage and over your spirit, soul, and body. Now, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. So he stood there and told the blood of Jesus, and that troll had to leave. He actually got up and left because he hid out underneath the bridge. Now, who did he say we fight? Who we wrestle against? Not flesh and blood, but what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, how are you going to get skillful to fight those things or wrestle against those things? The Holy Spirit's got to help you. Don't let him ring your doorbell and box you in your head every single day. Use the trump card. Use the weapons. The blood of Jesus, the word of God. He'll tell you exactly what to say. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The blood. We got to speak it. Declare it. We got to know when we, because think about it, when we grow, and when we expand in ministry, some of us may be assigned to go to hospitals. The Lord, Holy Spirit may tell you, go to the hospital. Go pray for somebody. Now, I have further light on this, not the same when it was COVID time, because I prayed for people, and we helped bring people out of COVID. I'm talking about on respirators. And the Holy Spirit began to teach me how to deal with those situations where people are on the edge, about to lose it because they're on an oxygen tank or a respirator with COVID. Why am I saying all? You got to be prepared. You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit help you get prepared for these kind of things. And this pastor and I were sharing, he said, I went into hospitals during COVID. They said, you're not going to wear a mask? He said, no. He said, that's not very wise. He said, first of all, those masks are just commercialized corruption. They're making money off of it because the germs would get through the mask anyway. It just gives you an emotional good feel that, hey, we're blocking some virus here. Y'all here with me? He walked in. He said the people and the nurses and everything that was masked all up, some of them had two or three masks on. They got sick. They got COVID. He didn't. How could he do that? The Holy Spirit, the Word, and the blood. Somebody said the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the blood. I'll give you that one last story. He was over in India again, and there was a breakout of malaria. And he thought he had took his malaria pills over there, missionary trip. People were dying, dropping dead. Even doctors, suited up in hazmat suits, were being medevaced out because it was a big virus. Huh. I'm telling you this stuff because we need to get prepared for stuff. You need to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to train you up to get skill as you give him your will. Teach you how to fight against these things. So he said, okay, you know, I got faith and I got my pills. And thing broke out. God's working miracles. People are being raised up from almost dead and comatose. And he goes back to his room. He says, you know, I'm going to take my malaria pills. And he said, I took the wrong pills. They were water purification tablets, not malaria pills. And he started to panic. He said, Holy Spirit, what do I do? And the word got back to his dad. His dad's a wealthy millionaire. He chartered a plane to India to get him out of the country. He said, Dad, send it back. Why? The Holy Spirit told me, I knew you didn't have the malaria pills. I knew you brought water purification tablets. But isn't my word enough and my blood enough to protect you? Somebody said, praise the Lord. We got to stop talking all this natural science, spooky, spooky stuff. Because God's going to want to use some of you. And if you're all full of fear and trepidation and you're afraid to even touch your own family when they get sick and they frothing at the mouth, you got to be telling the devil, you shut up, come out. I plead the blood against you, Jesus against you. Someone say, praise the Lord. Someone say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, next slide, guys. The Holy Spirit helps us fight the good fight of faith. Let's read 1 Timothy 6:12 together. Ready? Read. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and has confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, I sent out an email, I think it was the day before or maybe yesterday, about waiting. Because one of the things the devil tries to get you to do is be impatient. And then you change or you cancel your confession. Nothing's happening. It's not working. When is it going to happen? Why does he call it a good fight of faith? Number one, make a note of this. If he keeps you in the reason or the sense realm. That means the reason of your mind and the reason of your body, your feelings and emotions, then he can whip you 100 times a day. If you keep the devil in the faith realm, as you're standing in faith and waiting in faith, you win. Because he's spiritually dead, he's spiritually defeated, meaning the devil. So you got to keep him in the faith realm. Part of that is maintaining your confession of faith. Laying hold of eternal life for which you were called and have confessed a good confession. How's it going, brother? Well, you know, my knee hurts and this and that. I got to have surgery. I got to do this. Change the confession. Good confession is what? A confession of faith. It's a confession of what the word says and not what circumstances say. Because any old parrot, or you would even say monkey, can report the facts. But your confession of faith is speaking the truth in those facts. You're saying what the word says. You're saying the same thing with the word, and you're not changing it. Well, look like my accounts run way in the negative. What do you say? Philippians 4:19. My God shall what? All your need, according to his riches in, by Christ Jesus. Now, remember what, when they first got filled with the Holy Spirit, and when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, what do? You speak. And as the Holy Spirit influences you in this fight of faith, he helps you speak. Hallelujah. There is a fight to faith to stand and stay and remain steadfast in faith. Walking in faith involves conflicts. We can see the first example, Genesis 14 and 15, the first mention of war and all that stuff. Abraham learned that if he was going to walk in faith, he's going to get attacked. And all of us here, if we're going to walk by faith, you're going to get attacked. We're either coming out of an attack or we're getting ready to go into one. But what is the Holy Spirit supposed to do? Help you fight, prepare for the fight. It's not a fist fight. It's not putting on boxing gloves and physically beating somebody up. No, it's fighting the good fight of faith. But you got to let the Holy Spirit help you. Some of us can see it coming on the horizon. But faith prepares. Faith gets ready. So you might be clear and say, okay, everything's going smooth, but you better be preparing and getting ready to fight again. Oh, my goodness. Y'all looking at me like I stole something this morning. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't throw up his hands and say, oh, you're the person of faith. I give up. Abraham had to learn conflict management. We also have to learn this, the deal with spiritual combat and the battles that come against our mind. Faith involves and entails fighting. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Were they vibrating in here? They're trying to get you to change what you think so you can change what you say. Psalms 144:1, look at this. The bless the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to what? To fight. So how skillful are you in fighting? 1 Corinthians 9, 6:26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one that beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing. The Holy Spirit's getting you in the arena to make sure that you can win every single time. But we got to give him our will. We can't go back to doing what we want to do and watching all the TV and scrolling through social media like we just nothing's happening. The devil's going to come back around and say, okay, here we go again. Here's another victory on our side. Let's defeat them again. One more time. Let's kick their finances in the teeth. Let's kick their health in the teeth. Let's shred apart their relationships. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, I'll give you an example. A lady was grew up understanding the Holy Spirit was teaching her how to praise. Every time her kids would get either fever or cold coming on, she said, the Holy Spirit, don't put your hands on them. Just take the higher weapon. We call it the praise cure. So she would say, no, you don't, devil. No, you don't, sickness or disease. You get off my kids. I praise you, Lord. I glorify. And she started hollering, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And be praised in less than 10 minutes, everything. But then you learn how to do that by giving the Lord, the Holy Spirit, your will so he can develop you in skill. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because, you know, standing in line trying to get a shot, thinking the vaccine is going to take care of everything. Who are you kidding? You believe in more medical science than you do the Savior? Come on now. You're going to be able to deal with stuff that comes across the scene. They ain't got a medical cure for it. But there is a praise cure for it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You got to know how to shout and run. I'll give you one more story from this guy from Canada. I really enjoyed fellowshipping with him. He was in, again, India. That's where you go to missions. And this area of town, they had had some riots break out because they didn't like certain color people coming through there. And so what they did, this riotous group, they killed them. They cut their head off and put them on a stake. Well, he was supposed to go preach one night, and they got the dates mixed up. The pastor did. And then this other pastor went early. He went to this place, and he said, uh-oh, nobody's here to pick me up. Next thing he looked around, there was about 45 people coming after him. A couple of them with knives. Like machete knives. They're coming after you. They're going to kill you. Everybody said, learn how to fight. Well, what do you do? He's panicking. He said, my life was flashing before my eyes. I'm gone. They're coming to kill me. But how many know the Lord is your refuge and your strength? He's a very present help in time of trouble. Somebody said, glory to God. So he told them, spin around like a top. It was emergency. Because he's looking around and he said, I'm praying emergency tongues. Anybody know what that means? You fast, hard, and heavy. What do I do? And the Holy Spirit says, spin around like a top. Because there's untapped power in praise, and there's power in rejoicing. Now some people, well, I don't want to do that every morning. Well, it's a secret weapon that we don't use. Rejoicing releases power. According to Peter, maximum joy. So he said, spin around like a top. So he said he had his guitar in his hand. He was having youth revivals, people getting saved. And all that stuff, but he went wrong day, and they got their time mixed up. He's in there bound. There's 45-something people coming after him with machetes and knives, and then he said they had the look of murder in their eyes. And he went there, spinning around, obeyed the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, we got to obey the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can help you in any situation, in any circumstance. Did you ask him? And then he said, while you're spinning around, praise me. So he's spinning around like a top for 2 minutes, praising God. Hallelujah. And they're coming closer. He said, now curse them. He said, I don't understand this, Lord. You're telling me to curse them. He said, I curse you, I curse you, I curse you, I curse you, I curse you. He just did what the Holy Spirit told him. They all froze in position. Knives up, hands up. They couldn't move. Right at that point, another pastor came through the door of that station and said, the Lord sent me here to help you, to get you out of here. Everybody say, he's always on time. Always on time. And so he said, I got this car, come on out. And he said, come, let's run. And the Holy Spirit says, run. First, spin around. Second, praise. Third, curse them. Fourth, run. He said, run. He said, when I came to myself, I was so moved by it. He said, one of the guys was at near the door. He said, I just elbowed him in the chest. Boom. Because he's trying to kill me. He just elbowed him. So he got to the car with this other pastor. And the final of that time, they came unfroze. And they came outside. They were looking at him, looking for him. And he said, this car better work. And they drove off. Everybody said, the Holy Spirit. He can help you. What are you dealing with? Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Part of the fight we overcome is our fears, our doubts, our unbelief, our disbelief when it comes to our Father's will and his work in our lives. We have to acknowledge and access who we are in Christ, what we possess in him, and acting obediently and ordained ordered upon his word. We fight to stay and stand in faith. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. 1 John 5:4. Every child of God defeats this evil world. And we overcome this by our faith. Everybody say, faith. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know how to say this better, but the Lord dealt with me this week when I was thinking about this. He said, you know, some Christians can backslide in church from not listening to and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They think, oh, that's a side thing, or it's the only time when I feel like jumping and shouting. But the Holy Spirit's supposed to be your everyday help. We ought to get conditioned to where we're saying, Holy Spirit, what do I do? Holy Spirit, what do I say? Holy Spirit, how do I handle this situation? We got to come out of our pride, our foolish pride, and our selfishness and thinking, I can figure this out. I heard this, the Holy Spirit is not afraid of our ugliness and our messes. He knows how to get down dirty. And we're spending time and time again trying to talk to everybody around us about what's going on and what the problem is and what everything's happening. And like there's no God, like there's no Holy Spirit, that like there's no blood, like there's no word of God. And the Holy Spirit was saying, that's backsliding from what you believe and what you've received. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Come on, just let's pray before the Lord.